because of which he will become happy and glad in his grave. On the other hand, if he is from among the inmates of Jahannam, he is shown his abode in Jahannam, because of which his grief and worry will always be increased. So this, as we heard time and again, is a phenomenon that is inevitable. We all will have to face that day and taste the pangs of death. As we heard in the Jummah talk also, because of the time constraint, I could not complete the details. There I was explaining the demise of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when death did not spare even Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can he spare you and I? In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has announced, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَمَيِّتُ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that just as every other person has to die, O my Nabi, death will overtake you as well. So as I explained in the Jummah talk, Nabi Karim Sa'azam, death illness lasted for approximately 13 days. It was a Wednesday when Nabi Karim Sa'azam took ill. And as I explained in the talk in Jummah, because of lack of time, I could not complete the details. I thought I would complete it now. So I explained that there were many pointers, indicators, when Nabi Sa'azam also realized that the time for departing from this world was approaching. Many signs, for example, every year Nabi Sa'azam used to make 10 days i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan, but the year of his demise, in that Ramadan, he made 20 days i'tikaf. Each year Jibreel al-Islam used to come to him, Nabi Sa'azam used to make door, revise the Quran, read out the Quran to Jibreel al-Islam once, but in the year of his demise, he read the Quran out twice. That year during the farewell pilgrimage, the verse was revealed, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, in which Allah Ta'ala gave glad tidings of the completion of this code of life, the Sharia of Nabi Karim Sa'asim, which we are all bound to follow. And also Surah An-Nasr was revealed earlier in that year, in which Allah Ta'ala explains, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْرِ, that Allah Ta'ala's help has come, the conquest of Makkah has taken place, people are entering into Islam in droves and droves. So you should glorify your Rabb, praise Him, and make istighfar. Istighfar is normally done at the end of a noble task. This also indicated that Nabi Sa'am's mission on this earth was now accomplished. Then Nabi Sa'am visited the martyrs of Uhud, who are buried alongside the Mount of Uhud, and he made istighfar for them, isale thawab. He went to Jannatul Baqi, and in such a unique style he made istighfar, that it appeared as if he was bidding farewell to them, that he will not return to make istighfar for the inmates of this qubur, for this sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. When he got home that day, he was at the home of his beloved wife Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. She complained of headache. She said, "Wa ra'asa," that, "Oh, I have a terrible headache." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in turn replied, "I too have a headache. I should be saying that my head is throbbing." But then Nabi Sallam said to her that if you die before me, then I shall see to your needs, to the ghusl, kafan, I shall perform your janazah salah, I shall have you buried. To that she replied in a light-hearted way that, "Yes, O Nabi of Allah, you are waiting for the opportunity for me to depart, so that after you bury me that same afternoon, you would get married to another woman to replace me, take someone else in my place." Nabi Sa'asim merely smiled. So this death illness commenced with this headache, and as the days passed, Nabi Sa'asim's health began deteriorating, fever increased, but yet that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Nabi Sa'asim continued to come to the masjid and lead the salah, lead the prayer. But each day, Nabi Sa'asim still fulfilled the rights of his wives. He used to, as his habit was, go from one wife to the next. Each wife was allotted a turn day after day. But in this illness, it was difficult for Nabi Sallam to move from home to home. In fact, he himself indicated his desire of wanting to spend his last days in the home of his most beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, by asking the wives, "Aina akunu ghadan," that tomorrow where will I be? So the wives also understood, they put two and two together, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wishes to spend his final days at the abode of Aisha radiallahu anha. So they all gave their permission. So from Monday onwards, up to the next Monday when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, for approximately 8 days, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent his final days at the home of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was overjoyed at this. First of all, she was his most beloved wife. And secondly, she had the privilege that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was not allowed to enter the home of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while the wife of that particular home is retired in bed. But as Aisha was the exception. Even if she was in bed already, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam could enter with the wahi, with the revelation. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought that this was appropriate. If there are some last messages by way of revelation, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam would not feel reluctant to enter the home and convey the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to the masjid. On Wednesday, after Zuhar Salah, he gave his last address to the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in. After performing Zuhar Salah, he addressed them. First and foremost, he mentioned the virtues, the manaqib of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, indicating his lofty position, indicating that he was a person who would be the successor of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also to show his honor, Nabi Sallam explained many Sahaba's homes were surrounding the Masjid al-Nabawi, and the doors of the homes would open inwards towards the Masjid, easy entry into the Masjid, exit from the Masjid. On that day, Nabi Sallam announced that no other Sahabi will be allowed to allow or permit his door or his window to open towards the Masjid except Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. That is, apart from Nabi Karim Sallam, no other Sahabi. The other Sahaba must use the door to exit from their homes towards the street. If they wish to come to the Masjid, they would come right around and enter the Masjid. Then Nabi Karim Sallam also gave a very important advice that just as the previous nations started worshipping their Anbiya after burying them, they used to make sajda at the graves. Do not do such an action at my grave. An intelligent person like Abu Bakr Siddiq Radan immediately understood that Nabi Sallam is indicating that the time for his departure from the world is near. He buried his head in his hands and began sobbing. Nabi Sallam noticed this, but then he pacified the Sahaba, telling them that, are you going to become panic-stricken by my departure? I am also but a mortal. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also a Rasul like the other messengers that have went by. In other words, like the other Anbiya, he is also mortal. Like they passed away, he also has to pass away one day. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ And Allah Ta'ala says, addressing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that before you, we have never granted any person eternal life in this world. Eternal life is a life of the year after. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went back to his home. He emerged that day to perform the Asr Salah to the Maghrib Salah. When the time for Isha came, he tried to get off his bed. He could not get the strength to move. He lost consciousness. And each time he regained consciousness, he explained to the wife, all the attendants there, the other wives also there, to help prepare some water so that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could take a bath to remove the effects of that unconscious state. But time and again, in spite of that, he was falling unconscious. Eventually, he said to the people, Muru Aba Bakrin, Fal Yusalli bin Nas, that give the command to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he will from today lead the prayer. So from that Wednesday, Isha Salah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala led the Salah. He became the Imam, indicating that the person who is fit to occupy the Musalla of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be the person capable enough to succeed Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers. That was Wednesday evening. Thursday also, Abu Bakr Siddiq Radan performed the Salah. Friday, Saturday, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to perform his namazes at home. But on Saturday, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt slightly better. So because of that, Salah had already commenced in the Masjid, but he beckoned to two Sahaba, and taking the support of the two Sahaba's shoulders, he supported himself on their shoulders and dragging his feet along, he asked them to take him to the Masjid. Abu Bakr Siddiq Radan had started the Salah. He was in the first rakat. But with the corner of his eye, when he noticed that Nabi Sallam is approaching, he started moving backwards. Nabi Sallam beckoned to him to remain put and continue making imamat, but he could not have that courage to continue in the presence of Nabi Sallam. He moved back slightly, made way for Nabi Sallam. Nabi Sallam did not have the strength to stand up. These two sahaba made him sit down, and then he led the prayer in a sitting position. The sahaba radhiyallahu anhu majmain was standing behind him, and in this way that salah was completed. But after that, that was on a Saturday. The next day, Sunday, Nabi Sallam had no strength. And then when the Monday came, that was the day of the demise of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the early morning prayer, Fajr, or perhaps the Zuhr prayer, Nabi Sallallahu alaihi wasallam suddenly felt so much better. Salah was on. He himself walked to the door of his home, and he moved the curtain away. Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu and the other sahaba also noticed, and they were totally astonished that Nabi Sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recovered completely. Looks like he's going to come into the masjid. They were overjoyed. But then again, Nabi Sallallahu alaihi wasallam was overtaken by weakness. He could not get to the masjid. He went back into his room, and he passed away on that day, which was a Monday. So after 13 days of the death illness. But what is very important for us are certain events that took place during the death illness of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One, as I mentioned in the Jummah talk as well, Hazrat Fatima radhiyallahu anha came to visit him, his beloved daughter. Nabi Sallam whispered into her ear. The first statement he whispered caused her to burst out crying. And then he whispered something else which made her smile and become happy. Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha was witnessing this from a distance. She was also astonished that she had never witnessed such a scene, that someone who was emotional had begun to cry. In the next minute, all of a sudden, that grief is converted into happiness. So she was curious to find out that how did Fatima Radhana regain her composure so quickly after crying. She asked her, but Fatima Radhana refused to divulge. She said it's a secret. After the demise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she revealed that the first statement Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam whispered into my ears is that every year Jibreel Alayhi Salaam comes and I read out the Quran to him once. But this year I read out the Quran to him twice with the hukam, command of Allah. And this was an indication that I am shortly to leave the world. So obviously, upon hearing that she will have to part from her beloved father, she began to weep. Then Nabi Sallam whispered into her ear a second statement. This she divulged to Aisha radhiyallahu anha only after the demise of Nabi Sallam. That the second statement was that do not be concerned. From my family members, you will be the first person who will join me in the next world. So that made her overjoyed. Within 6 months, she also passed away. According to other versions of the narration, Nabi Sallam also gave her the glad tiding that from the women of Jannat, you will be made the queen of all the women in Jannat. So this also made her overjoyed. That made her smile. Also very significant that Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha was very, very happy because of one other event that took place. The day that Nabi Sallam passed away, Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha's brother, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr radhiyallahu ta'ala, came to pay a visit to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have the strength to even speak. That weak he had become. And he noticed in the hand of Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr radhiyallahu ta'ala, he was holding a miswak. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this sunnat of miswak was very beloved to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With a gesture of the eyes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that he wished to use the miswak. So this shows what an important sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the miswak is, that even in his dying moments, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to utilize the miswak. So he indicated that he wanted the miswak. Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha took the miswak from her brother, but she noticed at the end of the miswak, the tip of the miswak was a bit hard. It would be difficult for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to chew on the tip and to use it to brush his teeth. So she in turn put it first into her mouth and she bit the end of the miswak to soften it a bit. After softening it, she passed the miswak to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Sallam used the miswak and then gave it back. And just shortly after that, Nabi Sallam's body went limp. He was resting on the chest of his beloved wife, Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, and he uttered the words, Allahumma rafiq al-ala, that O Allah, join me with you, join me with a lofty companion, let me come to you. This was Nabi Sam looking forward to meeting his creator. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha says that I remembered what Nabi Sam used to tell me in the days when he was healthy, that every Nabi before he passes away, when Malakul Maut comes to him, then Allah Ta'ala commands Malakul Maut to give that Nabi the option, either to stay on in the world or either to come and meet his creator. So every Nabi is given the choice. So she says, when I heard these words, Nabi saw them saying, Allahumma Rafiq al-A'la, I understood that at that point of time he was given the choice and he was choosing to go and meet his creator, because Nabi saw was looking forward now. The mission in this world was accomplished. It comes in the hadith too. Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allah liqa'ahu. That the person looks forward to meeting his creator, Allah Ta'ala looks forward to receiving him. So Nabi saw was now prepared to go and meet his creator, and he passed away. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, she was happy at that event of the miswak. She used to tell the people that was a joyous moment for me. That jama Allahu bayna riqi wa riqi Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi akhir yawmi min ad-dunya wa awwal yawmi min al-akhirah. She said that by virtue of that miswak, Allah Ta'ala combine and mix my saliva with the saliva of my beloved husband, Nabi Kareem Sawasim, because she first softened that miswak, so obviously her saliva went onto the miswak, and thereafter Nabi Sawasim utilized it, so his saliva also mixed with the saliva of his beloved wife. She says this took place in the last day of Nabi Sawasim in this temporary world, and the first day of his journey to the Akhirat. This greatly made her overjoyed. Also significant, during the death illness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gave some parting advices, which were very, very pertinent, very significant, very important for us to take cognizance of, because those advices were for the entire ummah. For example, during the days of his death illness, he said to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, that لا تتخذوا قبري وثنا. Do not make my qabr a place of worship. So this encapsulated our aqaid, our beliefs, that we should remain steadfast on unity, on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not ascribe any partners whatsoever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was with regard to aqidah. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, amongst the other advices, he said, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. That look after your salah and treat your servants, your subordinates, very, very well, your slaves, your servants, be kind to them, be compassionate to them. So in these two words, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encapsulated divine rights and human rights. That the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to be looked after and to be fulfilled, and human rights also have to be cared for. We cannot engage in human rights abuse. So salah was referring to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that from the ibadat, salah enjoys the position of being the most prestigious ibadat, to the extent that the hadith tells us that awwalu ma yuhasabu bil abdu yawm al qiyamah as-salah. That the first thing that will be taken into account, that we will be accounted for on the day of qiyamah, we will have to answer for, will be our salah. That will be the first thing that will be questioned about. So this covers divine rights and looking after our servants, our slaves, our employees, people beneath us. That covers the human rights. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was indicating that do not become guilty of human rights abuse. So in this way, aqidah came in, divine rights and the rights of fellow human beings. So in this way, in a few short words, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encapsulated the entire deen. So human rights are also very, very important. People don't pay attention to this and they regard it as trivial. Whereas human rights are such that if a person abuses another human, until he does not gain forgiveness from that human being he has oppressed, till then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive him. Even if a person backbited about another person, made ghibah, then too, unless and until a person goes up to that person and admits that I spoke ill about you behind your back, please forgive me, then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that person. So human rights abuse is such a grievous and serious crime that we ought to pay attention to it. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once said to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, that atadruna mal muflis, that do you know who is a bankrupt person, insolvent person? So the Sahaba, according to their understanding in worldly terms, they replied, Ya Rasulullah, al muflisu fina man la dirhama lahu wa la dinara wa la mata'a. That the bankrupt person is he who does not own gold or silver, he does not own any material possessions. He is a bankrupt person. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam elaborated that al muflisu min ummati man ja'a yawm al qiyama bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakatin وَقَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا فَيُوطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَنِيَتْ مَا عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَتُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that two bankrupt person is a person who will be bankrupt on the plains of Qiyamah. That person will come on the day of Qiyamah with a lot of namazas, lot of zakat, charity, lot of rozas. So divine rights, he will have accumulated a great deal. But at the same time, he is guilty of human rights abuse. That he has sworn at such a person, he has usurped the wealth of another person, he has shed the blood of another person, he has beaten up someone. In this way, he has abused human beings. And on the day of Qiyamah, a person will not have rands and cents to pay for all these atrocities. There, the currency will be our good deeds. The oppressor will have to pay with his good deeds. So Nabi Sa'adam said that then Allah Ta'ala will ensure that to pay for those human rights abuses, the oppressor will have to give over his good deeds to the oppressed party. So how foolish is a person is? Like the example was given, that it is like you going to deposit some money into your bank account, but by mistake you write down the wrong account number, you put down the account number of your opponent, of your enemy. So instead of depositing the money in your account, you're depositing the money in the account of someone whom you do not like. So similarly here, obviously a person has sworn at someone, hurt a person whom he did not like, so he's giving away his good deeds in the bank of the Akhirat, depositing them in the wrong account. So good deeds will be taken to pay for those abuses and for that injustices. With the result that if he was guilty of such oppression and such injustices, that if his good deeds are used up in order to do that payment, then the sins of the oppressed parties will be taken and thrown onto the shoulders of the oppressor, with the result that because of that burden, that oppressor will then be flung headlong into the fire of Jahannam. So that is how serious it is as far as human rights are concerned. So we have to prepare for that qabr by depositing in the bank of the Akhirat as much good deeds as possible. If we have wronged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as far as divine rights are concerned, seek Allah ta'ala's pardon. If we have wronged fellow humans, seek their pardon, and then seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can go with a clean slate. The good deeds that we send forth for the Akhirat will hold us in good stead, not only on the day of Qiyamah, but in the Qabr as well. It comes in one hadith that when a person goes into the Qabr, if he's a righteous person, he has accumulated many good deeds, in the qabr, salah will come and protect him from the right. Roza will come and stand guard on the left. His tilawat and dhikr will come, stand guard at the side of the head. The steps he took to the masjid will come towards the feet side. They will be given a sort of a physical form to prepare him from any azab or punishment that approaches the qabr. And patience and forbearance in times of difficulty, that would also be given a physical form. It will stand in one corner of the qabr. When the azab tries and enter from the right side of the qabr, salah will push it away. That you are not allowed to harm this person. Then the azab tries to come, punishment comes from the left side, and roza pushes it away. Then the azab tries to enter from the head side into the qabr, and tilawat and dhikr of Allah pushes the azab away. It comes from the feet side, the steps it took to the masjid, that averts that azab punishment, and the person is protected. In this way, he is not punished in the qabr. Patience and forbearance sitting in one corner of the qabr says to these other ibadat, that I was waiting to see that if any weakness from your side, I would be prepared to assist, but you are sufficient to push the azab away. So now I will be of help to this person on the day of Qiyamah when his deeds will be weighed. So that is the thing that will hold us in good stead even in the qabr, our amal, our deeds. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very beautifully has put it, that يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثْ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ يَرْجِعُ إِثْنَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَاحِدْ يَرْجِعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى عَمَلُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That when a person dies, three things accompany him to the qabr. One is his family. Today to the family, go to the qabristan to bury the person. Second, his wealth. This was a custom of the Arabs. Their wealth was generally in livestock. So when a person would die, they would take his camels, his cattle worth to the qabristan. Nabi Sa'adam says that two things return from the qabristan, his family returns and his wealth returns. But the third thing that follows him to the qabr, his amal, his deeds, that stays with the person, and that is the thing that will grant him solace and comfort in the qabr, protect him from the punishment in the qabr. So that is what we ought to work towards, make an effort towards, that the short life Allah Ta'ala has given us, to make a concerted effort to deposit for the akhirat. Because this life is very, very short. No matter how many years a person gets, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years also, then too it is short. In terms of the akhirat, it is not even a drop in the ocean. We know, we have heard Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he spent 950 years making tabligh, inviting people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if 950 years was spent in inviting people to the deen of Allah ta'ala, his actual age must have been exceeding 1,000. So a man that lived for such a long period of time, when Malakul Maut came to extract his ruh, his soul, with the permission of Allah, Hazrat Jibril, Malakul Maut, was also very, very curious, and he posed a question to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah Ta'ala granted you such a long life. So how did you find this life? So Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam replied, in spite of such a long life, this life appeared so short to me, as if I entered a house from the front door, and I'm exiting from the rear door. That is how short I found this life. So this life is very, very short. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah used to give an example, that if a person has to fill the space between the sky and the earth with bird seed, and then he brings along a bird and allows the bird to peck it one seed each day, one seed at a time. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, eventually those seeds will also be eaten up, they will become exhausted, but the life of the year after will never end. That is eternal. That is to last forever. So the life of this world is very, very short. We ought to appreciate the time that Allah Ta'ala has given us. As I mentioned also, on the day of Qiyamah, yesterday I mentioned, will be questioned how we utilize this life, how we utilize our youth. Let us spend our energy, the life Allah has given us, a trust of Allah Ta'ala, an amanat. Let us spend it sensibly in carrying out the commands of Allah, in earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah ta'ala through His grace and mercy can pardon us. Because it is only through the mercy and the grace of Allah that the person will be successful in the year after. A person should not remain in the deception that my amal will take me into Jannat. It is only the rahmat and the fadl of Allah that will take a person into Jannat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to exert himself in ibadat and stand for so long periods of time in tahajjud that his feet used to become swollen. Hatta tawarramat qadamahu. Someone asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven even your mistakes. You do not commit sins. But being a human, whatever mistakes you committed, Allah has even forgiven them. So why do you exert yourself so much? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied that, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? On another occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that لا يدخل أحدكم عمله الجنة. that your amal cannot take you into Jannah. The Sahaba asked, Wala anta ya Rasulullah? Even your righteous deeds cannot take you into Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, La illa yataghammadani Allahu bi fadlihi wa rahmatihi. Aw kama qala al-Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That even my good deeds will not grant me a ticket to Jannah unless Allah Ta'ala showers me with His grace and His mercy. So that is why when we ask Allah Ta'ala for Jannah, ask Jannah on the virtue of the grace and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Our amal actions are so rotten, they are not even worth presenting in the court of Allah. Yes, we should keep the hope that in spite of our deficient amal, Allah accepts them, but keep more hope in the mercy of Allah, that oh Allah, through your grace and your mercy, save us from the punishment of the next world and enter us into Jannah, inshallah, without reckoning. That is the dua we should make. We should ask for the fadl, the grace, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ فَضُلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. When Allah Ta'ala favors His servants, Allah Ta'ala showers him with His graces, and Allah Ta'ala pardons him. Allah Ta'ala make us, all of us, among those fortunate people that inshallah on the day of Qiyamah will be forgiven and given access, entry into Jannah, inshallah without reckoning. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزل المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعد وابدا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وزهي عنا ما هو أهله وزهي أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلتها على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله وصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله زكيات لله طيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء تحيات طيبات صلوات لله. أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا. التحيات الطيبات وصلوات الملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله. شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات صلوات زكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم أجرنا من النار يا مجير يا مجير يا مجير. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.